Chapter 12. They made good time by walking most of the day and well into the night, and didn't stop until they had reached the foothills at the base of the snow-cloaked mountains. Francis was delighted that they had lost Simon Leo, although Millie kept expecting the troll to reappear. Even from a distance, the mountains exuded a bone-chilling cold that only got worse as the night wore on. Although they didn't want to attract attention, they decided to build a fire to chase away the cold. "You should have seen their faces when they came out of their huts," said Francis as he tossed another log onto the fire. "I've never seen happier or more surprised people." Seated on the other side of the fire, Millie nodded. "And you didn't even need my blood to prove to them that you were a hero."
"I didn't want your blood," Francis said. "Any blood would have done just fine."
"He wanted to stab me with his sword just so he'd be more convincing," Millie said, turning to Zoe.
"I did not."
"You were telling us about the villagers?" prompted Zoe.
She shivered and pulled her cloak closer around her.
She didn't like the cold, and this was more intense than anything they'd felt before.
Francis pulled a blanket out of his acorn and draped it around her shoulders, and then sat beside Zoe and took her hands in his to warm them.
"They cheered for me," he said.
"I'm surprised you didn't hear them. Some of them slapped me on my back until they hurt their hands on my armor. They wanted me to stay to celebrate, but I told them I couldn't."
"We know what happens when you celebrate with them," muttered Millie.
Francis shook his head. "They promised me that they aren't going to do that anymore. They won't need to, since they think I killed the dragon."
"And I chased off the real human killer," said Millie. "It wasn't a dragon, it was a knucker."
"The villagers believed it was a dragon, and that's what counts."
"Say, I thought knuckers ate things like vermin and farm animals," said Francis.
Millie shrugged.
"This one had acquired a taste for humans, too."
"The villagers made me promise that I'd go back and visit them someday," Francis added.
"That's fine," Millie said, "as long as you understand that Zoe and I will not be going with you. As far as the villagers know, that knucker ate us, bones and all."
"They said they felt bad about that, especially since they thought I'd killed the beast."
"Shh," said Zoe. "Did you hear something?"
"Just my stomach growling," Francis said.
"No, it was over there in those trees."
"I don't see anything," said Millie.
"I don't either," Zoe said, "but I could have sworn..."
"What's that?" Millie squeaked.
An enormous shape had appeared seemingly out of nowhere, breathing heavily and waving its arms over its huge head. Francis dropped Zoe's hands and reached for his sword.
"There you are," rumbled a voice.
Millie was the first to realize who it was.
"Simon Leo? You found us," she said.
"Not again," muttered Francis.
"My mother taught us how to track people," Leo said. "Sometimes she'd let our father go just so we could practice. You didn't think I was gone for good, did you?"
Millie sighed.
"Of course not," she said, darting a glance at Francis, who was mumbling to himself. "But we've had a very eventful time since we saw you last. We were tricked,"
Zoe nodded,
"and drugged."
"And tied up," said Francis.
"Good," said Simon. "I was hoping it was something like that."
"You said they'd run off and left us on purpose," said Leo.
The hand closest to him reached up and wiped a tear from his eye.
"You said they didn't want us around, just like everybody else."
One shoulder shrugged.
"I wasn't sure," Simon said.
"Then you shouldn't have said it," said Leo.
"Sit down and tell us how you found us,"
Millie said, before the heads could really start to fight.
"We followed your footprints for a time," said Simon, as the troll plopped down on the ground between Millie and Zoe.
"You mean I followed their footprints?" Leo exclaimed. "You fell asleep again."
"It was boring," said Simon. "So, what do you have to eat? I haven't eaten in days. Leo devoured every toad we found last night, and our stomach has been sour ever since."
Francis didn't want to share his food with the troll, but he looked into his acorn when Millie insisted. He was still rooting around when Millie felt a prickling on the back of her neck. She looked up and saw that Zoe was peering over her shoulder and looking just as uneasy as she felt.
"Do you feel it too?"
Millie whispered. Zoe nodded.
"Someone is watching us. I noticed it before, but then when Simon Leo came, I thought it had been him."
"Here's an apple," said Francis as he handed the fruit to Simon.
Is it poisonous? Asked Leo. They give us indigestion. Our father used to give them to us before we went to bed at night. He said our stomach aches were all in our heads.
As far as I know, the apples are fine, said Francis.
It might be the villagers, Zoe whispered. Maybe they followed Francis.
Maybe, said Millie.
I'm going to take a nap, said Leo. Simon, it's your turn to stay awake.
Thanks a lot, Simon grumbled.
A few minutes passed before he spoke again. Glancing from one huddled figure to the next, he said,
Why are we sitting here wasting the dark when we could be walking?
The only response was the crackling of the wood in the fire. When Millie woke, snow was hissing softly as it fell from the sky. Zoe was curled up next to her as close as she could get, with Francis just as close on the other side.
Snow had accumulated on them, making them look like a lumpy snowdrift in the all-white landscape.
Because it was already daylight, Millie half expected to find that Simon Leo had gone to seek shelter from the sun, but he was there, feeding the fire and sitting exactly where he had been when she fell asleep.
Why are you still here? She asked as she wriggled out of her blanket.
There's a snowstorm, if you haven't noticed, said Simon. I can't see the sun, can you? We'll be fine as long as the snow keeps falling. Wake up, Leo, he shouted at his other head. You like the snow. You're going to love this.
What? Said Leo, his eyes popping open. Did you say there's snow?
Simon smiled. Tilting his head back, he closed his eyes and stuck out his tongue. Leo copied him, smacking his lips as the melting snow trickled down his throat.
You know what I want to do?
He asked his other head.
Snow trolls!
Don't be such a baby, said Simon. We haven't made snow trolls in years. Next, you'll want to have a snowball fight.
Good idea,
Leo said as he reached out and grabbed a handful of snow. Simon's mouth formed an O of surprise when the snowball whacked him full in the face. He sputtered and coughed, then reached for some snow himself. Millie kept well away from the troll as the two heads pelted each other. The sound of the troll shouting soon had Francis and Zoe up off the ground, although they kept their blankets wrapped around them. Francis stomped his feet.
I'm freezing, and we're not even in the mountains yet. It's only going to get colder, he said, glancing at Zoe and Millie.
You could use your magic to get warm, said Zoe.
So can Millie, he said.
I can warm myself, said Millie, but it's not going to do you any good. Why don't you make everyone some warm clothes? Zoe's lips are turning blue.
I'm a knight, not a seamstress. I don't know anything about sewing.
You don't need to, said Millie. Your magic will do it all for you. Just try coming up with a spell that includes everything you want your magic to do.
I guess I don't have any choice, since no one else can do it, he grumbled to himself.
Simon shouted, and Millie glanced at the troll. Leo was shoving his other head's face into the snow while trying to get rid of a mouthful of snow himself. Both troll faces were bright red and couldn't have looked happier.
I have a spell ready, Francis said. Now, don't talk while I do this.
A hat of fur and gloves that will keep us from the winter chill. Thick boots to make our toes stay warm. A cloak to block a winter storm. Leggings make our legs stay cozy, scarves to turn our faces rosy. To keep us warm in this fierce breeze, bundle us in all of these. Suddenly, they were all dressed in the warmest of clothes, and no one was shivering. Francis turned a satisfied smile on his companions and said, What would you have done if I hadn't come with you? Leo muttered from behind the thick red scarf that now covered his nose and mouth. Simon looked at his other head with disdain.
Did the hats have to have tassels? And what's that on my shoes?
Millie glanced down at her own feet. The boots were made of some brown animal hide and were laced shut with a white cord that ended in fluffy white balls. Glancing at her friends, she saw that they were dressed in the same clothes in different colors.
I like them, said Zoe.
Millie thought Francis might have blushed, but she couldn't be sure because most of his face was hidden behind a bright green scarf.
Well, I feel ridiculous, said Simon. I don't need these clothes, and I'm not going to wear them.
He started to undo the fastenings on the cloak, but Leo slapped his hand away.
Pulling the scarf down from his mouth, Leo glared at his other head and said,
I don't care if you like them or not. We're keeping the cloak and the boots. These are the nicest clothes we've ever had, and the first ones that weren't handed down to us from Cousin Wartlip's Stinky Breath.
I didn't think you cared about clothes, said Simon.
Leo turned his head away.
There's a lot of things you don't know about me.
Simon shrugged.
So we'll keep them on. Are you people ready to go yet?
He asked, turning to frown at the others.
This storm doesn't look like it's going to let up anytime soon.
The snow had been falling steadily the whole time they'd been talking. Even the depressions left by their bodies had filled in. Frances turned to Millie. Which way do we go now? Although she already knew the answer, Millie checked her dragon sense one more time.
Through that pass, she said, pointing to where two mountains met high above them.
I'll go first, said Francis, pulling his tasseled hat down more firmly over his ears. Who knows what we'll find in those mountains?